Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Hello, everybody. I hope everybody's having a great week this week. I'm thrilled because I have Clara Lee Charlton with me again. Did I always say your name wrong or Charlton?
Charlton is Charlton. Perfect, yes. Usually the first name's the hard one, Clara Lee, so you're doing well.
I love that. But anyway, you have now set the record for the person that's been on my show the most times.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I love that. And the reason I love that is because you always bring great information to my Caregiver Nation and Friends with Diagnosis.
Oh, thank you.
You do. You just rock it. And every year you give us the tax update for seniors. And it changes year in and year out. But let's talk about first where you work, what you do. Let's remind our listeners.
Sure. So my name is Clara Lee Charlton, and I'm an attorney with the law firm of Katz, Look, and Honorado. And I predominantly work with families who are in the process of perhaps losing a loved one or have lost a loved one. And I particularly focus on any tax matters. So I really encourage everyone, you know, after today's presentation, if you have questions, you can give me a call. Jill will go over my contact information at the end so you can write it down. But I really encourage the community to use me as a resource for their tax questions or other questions involving death and passing away, because it will happen to all of us at some point.
Right? Exactly. So just as a disclaimer, let's just say that this is a public service that you're doing for us. This is not to be construed as legal advice. They need to talk with their tax attorney or whoever, their CPA, before
exactly.
moving forward. But this is as good as information as they're going to get for free today. So let's kind of dive into
Absolutely.
It, okay? So the tax deadline is always April 15th. Now, you may or may not know this. Because of the government shutdown, is that going to change?
So the filing deadline is still April 15th. This is actually the first year in a while it's actually been April 15th, because there's been different holidays the past few years, and it's been like April 17th or
right.
April 16th. So we're actually back on April 15th this year, everyone.
Right.
And remember, you can always get an extension, a six-month extension automatically if you can't get your stuff together. But make sure if you know you're going to have to pay, even if you don't file, you still need to pay by April 15th. So make sure you don't, you know, dilly-dally too much. Get your tax forms into right. your CPA or start preparing it on TurboTax so you at least have an idea of what you might owe if you think you're in that situation by April 15th.
Okay, great. You know, I'm sure that's a question a lot of listeners would have had. So here's the thing. There are always tax reform changes year in and year out. Some things stay the same. Some things change. The reason I have you on the show is because most of the people who listen to my show have a person with some type of dementia. I work with people with Parkinson's,
Absolutely.
Alzheimer's, frontal temporal, so on and so forth. They have their loved ones at home. They're caring for them themselves. They may have some type of provision where they are paid to take care of their loved one. They may have a situation where they have a home care company coming in and working with them. We're going to get into some specifics about maybe what they can deduct and what they can't, because that doesn't
Absolutely.
Change year to year. And then also there are many people, like the folks in my support groups, that have their loved one in a care community where they are cared for 100% and maybe paying privately. Okay.
Of course.
So we're going to kind of jump on those questions right off the top. So the medical deductions, it's a little
yeah.
sticky, but can you explain it to us?
Absolutely. And I just kind of want to actually step back. So as
sure.
Jill mentioned, there are changes from year to year, modest changes oftentimes. But if you'll remember back in December of 2017, with the new administration, there was actually some really overarching changes that were made to taxes. And 2018 is the first year that's affected by those. So this is actually the first filing year that we're going to be experiencing some of these more sweeping changes that were implemented.
Wow.
And for your
okay.
listeners and individuals, the changes can really be boiled down into just a few things. and you were talking about medical deductions.
Right.
So for 2018, medical deductions in order to itemize have to exceed 7.5% of your income. So just because you have maybe, you know, $100 of medical expenses, you actually have to exceed 7.5% of your own income before it'll start chipping away at your taxable income.
Okay, so let's break that down so people understand it.
Absolutely.
So as an example, could medical expenses, let's talk about our people that are paying for someone in a community right now, 100%.
Yes.
And their cost could be... And
$10,000 a month.
Right? Yeah.
In some situations.
I mean, minimum $4,800 at some places a month, but more
expensive.
On average, we're looking at $6,000, $7,000 a month.
Absolutely.
So is that considered a medical expense?
A medical expense? If your loved one is required to live in the facility because of their either mental or physical condition and their
memory loss?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Memory loss.
Okay.
If they're having to live in the facility because of their medical condition, then the room and board plus any medical costs are deductible.
Okay.
Now, if mom just moved into assisted living because she doesn't want to shovel the walk anymore, or she kind of likes the cafeteria, and she happens to receive a few medical, treatments while she's there, in that situation, then the room and board is not deductible, but the medical care is. So it really depends on whether the individual really needs to be living in a facility. And individuals with dementia or, they need to be kept an eye on, absolutely, that's going to qualify. So that is a huge deduction. I mean, if you're looking at even $5,000 a month, that's $60,000 for the year.
Okay.
And that can be placed on your Schedule A as a standard deduction.
So again, just to be clear, because someone last night told me that her tax advisor told her she could only get that, she could only reach that 7.5%, and she's paying $6,000 a month at the community her husband's in for memory.
Then she absolutely should be able to deduct all of his expenses. Now, again, they are going to be limited. First, you kind of take a little 7.5% haircut off of those expenses, but
okay,
anything that exceeds that. So if 7.5% of your income, for instance, is $7,500, let's say you earn $100,000, 7.5% is $7,500, you would just take anything in excess of $7,500, which in your client's situation, if she's paying $6,000 a month, she's easily going to exceed that, no problem at all.
Right. Okay. And how about medications and things like that?
Absolutely. Keep all your co-pays, doctor's visits. Those are all going to add up fairly quickly.
Okay.
As far as your medical expenses. If you have a home health care worker that's coming in and you're paying that person as a member of your staff, your household staff, to help bathe or feed your family member, those would all be deductible. But keep in mind, if that person is also doing maybe tasks around the house, like vacuuming or cleaning, you should separate their payment. One is for the actual caregiving side, that's deductible. And then maybe the things they're doing around the house is a separate piece that would not be deductible.
Okay. That is huge, because people pay so much money out of their pocket, never even thinking that it's reimbursable. And that could make a huge difference in their bottom line. We're going to take a break in just a minute. And when we come back, I want you to kind of talk about some of the other things that are happening and explain to us, are these just for Colorado or is this nationwide? Okay.
Absolutely.
So anyway, Claralee Charlton, I'm glad you are here.
Thank you.
And I'm going to give her number right now, which is 303-832-1900. And you can call Claralee and ask her some questions, but have your questions written out. Don't plan to take 2 hours of her time, because then that might turn into a legal fee. Okay? We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments to clarify symptoms of dementia diseases and help families work together to find moments of joy while living with memory loss and impairment. education programs instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders, such as law enforcement, fire, and EMT personnel. We are passionate that people with dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others, are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
All right, we're back, and I have my friend Clara Lee Charlton here with me today. And I never know if that's a hard C or a short one. So anyway, you correct me if I'm wrong.
You're just fine.
But we're talking about the sweeping changes for taxes that happened in 2018 and how they're going to affect my folks, especially that I call my listeners Caregiver Nation and Friends with Diagnosis.
Yeah.
And how it's going to affect them. So can you kind of go through the standard deductions and how that looks?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So for anyone who's ever done their tax return, the IRS gives you two options with regard to deductions. You can either keep all your paperwork as far as your medical bills, your charitable contributions, your property taxes. You can keep all that and add it up. And that's called itemizing. Mm-hmm. Or the IRS says, hey, we'll just give you what's called a standard deduction. And that's the amount that we think everyone might pay on those category of items. That way you don't have to keep all your receipts. And for a lot of people, the standard deduction can be higher than if they add up all those items. Now, we were just talking about your Caregiver Nation folks,
right,
that have huge medical expenses.
Right.
They definitely need to be itemizing.
Okay.
Because their list is going to be way longer than the normal average taxpayer.
Right.
But for everyone else who maybe doesn't yet have those astronomical medical expenses, they might opt to take the standard deduction.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most significant changes that was put into place that's going to apply to 2018 was the standard deduction was doubled. So previously,
really?
For a single taxpayer, it was right around $6,000.
Right, right.
Now for a single taxpayer this year, it's $12,000. And for a married couple, it's $24,000.
Really?
So that's just a line item that is subtracted from your income. So if you are one of these people that you really, your medical care, it's not costing you too much, you know, maybe a few thousand dollars, and
right,
you give a little bit to charity here and there, and your property taxes are pretty low, you may actually end up taking the standard deduction this year because it has been doubled. Now, to offset that doubling, they've gone away from having the what's called the personal exemption,
okay,
which was $4,000 per person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, you know, you're almost equaling out there, but a lot more people are not going to be itemizing this year because a lot of folks can't beat that $24,000 unless they are like in a facility and paying,
right,
that significant sum. So don't be surprised if you go to your taxpayer this year and you've always itemized and they say, oh, you're taking the standard deduction. That might very well be true because maybe your itemizing deductions were only $20,000 and the standard deduction for a married couple is $24,000. So you want the better of the two numbers.
So do you have to actually spend that much to get that
$24,000? No, it's free. That's just what the IRS is estimating. They kind of say, you know, we don't want to go through your receipts. So let's just pretend you spent $24,000 and we'll subtract that right off the top of your income.
Now, wait a second, Clara Lee. Are you telling me that the government's being nice?
Well, you know.
I mean, I can hear my listeners now saying, wait a minute, am I going to get audited?
This is too good to be true.
Right.
In some circumstances, it may seem too good to be true. There's some other provisions of the tax code changes that happened to kind of offset that.
Okay.
That may bite some other taxpayers.
Ouch. Okay.
A little bit. But I think for the standard taxpayer, they're going to perhaps see their overall tax bill be a little bit lower this year than it may be may have been in prior years.
Well, that's excellent.
Because all the tax rates also were adjusted downward by about 3%.
Okay.
So people in all tax brackets will see a modest decrease. And okay. I created a handout that you can put up on your website for your listeners to go and download.
Sure.
And it actually has all this information in it. So if you are trying to take notes or you don't understand something, you know, that we're explaining, go on Jill's website and you can download this. It's like a 5-page little summary, and it actually has a tax table of what the tax rates are, and you can see where you might be at.
And actually, I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to be on my front page. It's going to be on my opening page. And it
Excellent.
Will be under blog information.
Super.
Okay, I'm going to throw it up there as soon as we're finished with this show, because I think it's just super, super important. So how about federal versus state?
Absolutely. So every state is just a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So the federal guidelines, that's that standard deduction, the $24,000.
Okay.
So I did want to point out, I know you have listeners from all over the world.
Right.
But we're based here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. So for your Colorado listeners, maybe you say, I'm not going to itemize. I'm just going to take the standard deduction.
Okay.
But maybe you give to charity. You still are, you know, a frequent donor,
mm-hmm.
you should still give that information to your tax preparer, because Colorado provides a separate state credit for charitable contributions compared to the federal, where you still get that credit, but this year you might be taking the standard deduction because it's $24,000.
Right.
But don't hold information back from your tax preparer. That's really my message. Still bring it all to them. They'll set aside the things that you don't need.
Okay.
But it's always better to provide too much information to them than not quite enough.
Right. So true. So there's a lot of things that I think if someone were sitting down and making a little checklist of what they want to think about or talk about when they're talking to someone like you or their tax preparer.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hit a couple of those before the show is over. But one of them is, does my loved one that I'm caring for need to file a tax return?
Absolutely. That's a perfect question.
Okay.
Especially for a senior population.
And what if they don't have any income coming in?
If they have no income, or if their only income is Social Security, they don't actually need to file. Now, sometimes it's always a good idea to just continue to file, you know, even if you don't owe. It's nice to just stay in that habit of filing. But if your loved one, you know, if it's coming down to April 15th, you say, oh, I haven't gotten mom's tax return in. If all she gets is Social Security and maybe, you know, a little bit of interest income on her checking account, she does not need to file.
What about a pension?
A pension is taxable.
Okay.
So if it exceeds the filing threshold for either single or married, which is right around that $12,000 mark.
Okay.
So if your pension is more than that, then you'll need to actually file a return.
It's less than $12,000?
If it's less for a single individual, then they do not need to file.
Oh,
but if they've had
excellent.
A withholding, for instance, perhaps the pension provider has withheld federal tax,
mm-hmm.
they may still want to file so they can just get their refund.
Because that's a good point.
Absolutely. There's no reason to leave money on the table. I frequently prepare returns for seniors who may not have that filing requirement, but they want the $500 back that was withheld.
Right.
For a lot of seniors, that's a significant
amount
of money. That's, you know, groceries and or utilities for the month. So don't leave free money on the table. And I wanted to point out, there is a service called VITA, V-I-T-A, and it's run by the IRS or in conjunction with them, and it provides free tax preparation services to members of the community.
Okay.
And your callers, if you just dial 211, that's a kind of a public service line. You can dial that all over the country and just ask for a VITA site. They will tell you what's the closest place in your area to get your return done for free.
You are a wealth of knowledge. That's why I like having you
back.
You're
love
awesome.
That. And there are special AARP sites for VITA that are trained specifically in certain senior types of income, such as your pension, maybe your IRA, obviously the Social Security.
Right.
And so call 211, ask for a VITA site.
Okay, V-I-T-A.
V as in victory, V-I-T-A, yep.
Right.
And they'll tell you where the closest site is.
Okay. And somebody might say, could I just contact my AAA office and they'd probably know what they were talking about?
So AARP.
AARP.
Yes.
Okay.
AARP may also have that list.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be back with Clara Lee Charlton.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you will ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Living with purpose and meaning is the best reward at Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Your loved one will live life to its fullest. Licensed nurses on staff 24 hours a day, compassionate caregivers, 3 well-balanced meals, and 3 healthy snacks are a few key elements of the JEA difference. We also offer fully furnished private and semi-private rooms, meaningful activities, and scheduled outings. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
We're back, and I have Clara Lee Charlton with me, and she is a tax an estate attorney. You work more with people who have passed away in their families when they get
Absolutely.
Into those little pickles of what has been taken care of and what has not been taken care of, and you sort of sort all that out for them. But for me and my listeners, you come in and kind of explain what tax deductions are for families who are living with dementia. And one of the things they might need help with, Clara Lee, is what if my loved one is going to daycare, an adult daycare,
yes.
because of their cognitive impairment or memory loss?
Yes. So the federal government provides what's called the dependent care credit on your tax return. And it is a credit that you can take. Most people think of it as, you know, my little kiddo is going to off to daycare and I'm paying a daycare provider. But you can also use this if the primary caregiver needs to send their loved one to a day program
right.
so that that caregiver can go to work.
Right.
If you're paying daycare credit or daycare expenses mm-hmm. for your loved one,
right.
just so you can go to work, you can claim this credit.
Okay.
And what you should do right now is you should ask the daycare program to provide you with a summary of the services you provided, they provided, so that you can claim this credit. You'll need their name, and you'll need also their tax ID number.
Okay.
So the daycares, and they should be very familiar with this. They should just have a statement that they can print right out.
Okay.
So you can bring it into your preparer. But that is a nice credit. I hate for people to forget about it, because
right.
I think a lot of tax preparers even are so thinking about the credit in terms of little people
right.
that they forget that sometimes older people need daycare too.
Right. And it's really important. I think it's a lifesaver in a lot of cases.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. It might be what enables, you know, the parent to stay with their child instead of going into a facility. So please don't miss out on that valuable credit that you can
right.
claim.
I gave a lecture last night, and I told them that next month I'm going to be talking about these things at the place I was giving the lecture
yeah.
at. And I had all these questions. So what else can you enlighten us about?
So one question that I get a lot is, I need to file a return on behalf of my parent. They, you know, no longer have cognitive ability to file it themselves or to sign on their own behalf. So if you have a power of attorney for your parent, make sure it has a clause in there that talks about preparation or signing of the tax return, because you'll need that in order to actually just sign the return on their behalf.
Okay.
Now, every once in a while, we get into a situation where we need to call the IRS and actually talk to them.
Ooh, that's scary.
When they're not shut down, of course.
Right.
And so in order to do that, you'll need your power of attorney that says that you can deal with tax matters, but you also need two other forms. You'll need a form called the 2848, and you can
okay.
download that from the IRS's website.
2848.
Yes. And that's an IRS-specific power of attorney. So the child can sign their own power of attorney, their own 2848.
Okay.
For their parent, mm-hmm. but the IRS just likes things in their format.
Okay.
They don't like to look at somebody else's power of attorney. They want their own special power of attorney. So you'll need that. You also need what's called Form 56.
All right.
That you'll complete with your loved one's information. You can use that as well if you have a deceased loved one and you're trying to figure out, hey, did they file taxes last year? Where's their refund? I mean, that's a big one.
Right.
You know, in this day of fraud, the IRS is withholding a lot of refunds lately. And I've had to call in on behalf of many clients saying, hey, where's my client's refund?
Right.
And I have to get this Form 2848 and 56 in order to call in on their behalf.
Okay.
But your loved ones, yeah. your loved ones who are listening, your caregiver nation, they
That's
can use
exactly
those forms
right.
to call in as well.
Okay.
So keep that in mind.
Okay.
I also, one of the reminders I like to give to individuals is if you're over 70 and a half and you have an IRA or a 401k, you have to take what are called required minimum distributions. And you're probably well aware of the required minimum distribution. It's a minimum amount you have to withdraw from your account every year to stay in compliance with the IRS.
Okay.
Well, our parents have dementia.
Right.
They might forget to take their required minimum distribution.
Right.
You know, if their banker or their financial advisor hasn't set it up to be automatic, which I strongly recommend, just get it set up to be automatic. But a lot of people don't. They forget. Tax time comes and the tax preparer says, well, how much did you take out? And you say, well, how much did you take out, Mom? And she's like, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
And so if you've forgotten, you can request a penalty waiver because the penalty for failing to withdraw is actually 50% of
Whoa.
The amount. So it's a significant
Ouch.
Penalty. You don't want to forget this.
Okay.
But there is a waiver you can request. You should file it right along with your return. Your tax preparer can fill it out for you.
Okay.
I have been very successful in getting the penalties waived. It's not a difficult
nice.
Thing. So don't freak out if that's your situation. The penalty can easily be waived. Just explain, you know, have a good explanation. Hey, Mom has dementia. She totally forgot. She wasn't trying to scam the IRS.
Right.
This was an accident.
Well, I have to laugh because 70 and a half, they probably haven't heard something like that since they were 7 and a half.
Exactly.
We're not half silly counted when you were
We're now
10.
Tracking our age in half years at this point. Exactly.
Right. Well, just I want to make sure because we've just got a little under 2 minutes left to talk. Please give your information really quickly, would
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. So my name, again, is Clara Lee Charlton. You can call me at 303-832-1900 and just ask for me. The receptionist at my office is super nice. She'll put you through to me. And frankly, I really encourage you to call with little questions because I'd rather you do it right than wrong. And no, you're not going to get a bill just because you call me. If your issue is more complicated or perhaps you need to bring documentation in for us to look at, you know, we can discuss whether that's appropriate or not. Or I can direct you to maybe another professional, especially in your area. If you're not here in the Denver area,
okay.
I can try to direct you to someone who can help you.
Well, that's
but
awesome.
Please call me 303-832-1900. My information is also going to be on Jill's website on the little handout. And I've got some other information, you know, about like investments or if you're going to sell your house and things like that on her
right.
website. So please check that out. And if you have follow-up questions, just give me a call. I'm happy to be a resource to Jill and her listeners.
You are awesome. There's so many things we could have talked about today and maybe want to talk. If I get a lot of calls, I may have you back quickly so we can
Absolutely.
Talk about other things that we didn't get to chat about in the next couple of weeks. So I just want to give a public service announcement here. On the 17th of January from 11 o'clock until 12:30, I am providing a lunch and learn. I'm facilitating it. And I am talking about this very subject. So if you're interested, please come. It is at Mountain Vista Retirement Community and Memory Care. And it is 11800 West 49th Avenue in Wheat Ridge. You must call an RSVP. You must. And that number is on my website on the front page on the Come and Meet Me section. Okay? Clearly, it's been great having you back.
Thank you, Jill. Happy New Year to everyone. Happy tax season.
I don't think anybody ever said that to me before. But anyway, I hope you all have really gleaned some great information here. Call Clara Lee if you've got a question. Go on my website, summitresiliencetraining.com. Visit Easy 1430 Weekend Programming. Scroll down and you can listen to this show again if you heard something and you want to hear it again, okay? And you can also find it on my blog section. I will see you all next week, and thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.